This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And today, a wine in the Umpqua program again was able to schedule three of those in a row. And, of course, it's Oregon Wine Month. Yesterday was National Wine Day. We're going into a long weekend where presumably much wine will be consumed. And so Pat Spangler is here from Spangler Vineyards to add into the mix. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Haven't talked to you in a while. Talk about how things are going at Spangler, some of the things you've been up to.
Well, I don't think I've been here since we were fortunate enough to be named Winery of the Year back in 2018. We were doing quite well, and then COVID came along. So it's been quite the adjustment. We got shut down for quite a while, as did everyone else. In general, doing pretty well, though. The wine industry in this area is doing exceptionally well. We are such a leader in this area of jobs and opportunities that it's pretty exciting to be involved with it.
Now, how long have you had Spangler Vineyards?
Since 2003. We're now into our 20th year here. We're not officially 20-year anniversary yet. Well, that'll be actually be next year. But I've been making wine for 35 years and here in Roseburg for 20 now.
So I would imagine there'll be some kind of party next year.
Yes, we're planning a pretty big one if we get there.
When you got into making wine, I know originally that was kind of a hobby, right?
To start with, yeah. I bought the winery, had been a home winemaker for a long time, thought we'd just do something small, then realized the opportunity we have here in the Umpqua with the great growing conditions and an ability to grow a business. And one thing led to another, and here I am 20 years later.
Do you ever look around and just kind of go, wow?
Yes, some. I actually made a comparison one time at a high school reunion. I said the two things I've spent my entire life doing, I was a trader in Chicago and now I've been a winemaker for 20 years, were things that I didn't even know existed when I graduated from high school.
Yeah, isn't that amazing how people's paths shift? What led you into making wine at home to begin with?
Well, I had a friend who actually was making beer. And I started by making beer in my college dorm room in 1985. And by the time I graduated from college in 1989, I moved to Chicago, bought a house with grapes, and hey, they'll ferment. Let's make wine.
And what did you know about wine back then?
Not a lot. I think I'm similar to an awful lot of people. When you are younger and coming out of college in general, you don't tend to have a lot of money, so you're tending to drink whatever is the cheapest thing you can possibly come with, which typically isn't that good. I was fortunate enough to make a couple trips. I made my first trip to Napa, first trip to Sonoma, first trip up to Seattle, to the Woodinville area, and learned a lot in a hurry.
And that led to wanting to get into this permanently. Now, how did you get from Chicago, right?
Yes.
How'd you get here?
Well, actually, I moved to Santa Rosa with the express intent of getting in the wine industry. Had several properties fall out of escrow down there. And while we were looking, we really fell in love with Roseburg. My daughter was three. We thought it was a great place to raise a family, and that has proved to be very true.
Now, talk about Spangler. How many acres do you have planted?
Well, we have 17 total acres. Only 9 are planted. We're planted out, basically, and we don't have water, so we're very low production. So we also buy quite a few grapes.
And talk about the climate at your property. It seems like it's kind of unique.
Well, my property, just where it happens to sit, is extremely hot. So if it's 85 in Roseburg, I'm 92. As opposed to my house out near Glidewell, should be in the high 70s. The microclimates around here are so different. Abacella, my closest neighbor, they're very hot and very cold at the same time. It's just a very hot spot in the southern part of the county.
Now, is part of that heat just related to being up by that hill?
Yes, it's kind of a boxed-in little spot. You get the gap from Winston comes over, and it kind of runs into the hills. Then the wind goes south toward Canyonville, but it pauses right there and warms up a lot.
It's interesting. I've seen at different times when you've posted what a temperature is, and I a lot of times give it a second look. It's like, really? It's that much different out there than it is right here. And it's amazing how just a few short miles, you know, maybe a 6 or 7 minute drive make a big difference.
A couple hundred yards will do it. It's amazing around here.
So you mentioned sourcing as well. Are there particular areas that you focus on? Is it just the Rogue Valley?
No, I like to make exotic things sometimes. After having done this for so long, you get a little bored. So I've also spread out geographically so that if we have a bad year somewhere, I don't other places. So we do buy a few grapes out of the Milton Freewater area. Of course, that is Oregon Walla Walla. Occasionally, I get something unusual out of California, like I have an Alicante Boucher we just released. There's none of that in Oregon. Can't get it here. In general, I like Umpqua first, Rogue second, Oregon third, and I only go out of the state for something extremely unusual.
And talk about the types of wines that you like making.
Well, in general, of course, we're known for our big red wines. We're in a very hot spot. I'm actually too hot to grow white wine there. And I love big reds. So we do all six of the red Bordeaux varietals. We also do Petit Syrah, Syrah. I mean, there's so many different things I like to make to have fun with. And I think it's more interesting to people so when you have a big mix of things.
And it seems like you really like the process of sort of post-harvest, really the geeky science stuff, making it.
Well, it's one of those things, as you first start, you have a tendency to play with it a lot. You really want to manipulate and you want to experiment and all that kind of stuff. And I actually think I've made the best wines ever made in the past half a dozen years by letting nature take its course more, directing rather than trying to force it, and much more old world style and letting the wines become what they want to be instead of trying to force them in a direction.
It's interesting. Talk about your view of watching the last 20 years here in the Umpqua Valley wine scene.
Well, it's changed dramatically. When I bought the property, formerly Lagarde's, of course, I believe I was the eighth tasting room to open at that time, and that was in 2004. Now there are, I believe, 28. All of Southern Oregon's the same. We've gone from 30 or 40 to almost 200. I think I saw the other day there's something over 1,000 wineries in Oregon now. So a lot more attention because of what we're doing. I think the Umpqua is now really getting a lot of attention and known for much better quality wine, and our wines are very reasonably priced compared to most other places.
And the aspect that I am continually fascinated with is because of the climate, the microclimates that we talked about, how many different varietals you can grow here, and that's almost worldwide unique.
Yes, we have such different microclimates, but the one hallmark of Southern Oregon is our warm days, cool nights, almost everywhere. I mean, the winery can be 100 during the day and 50 at night. That allows you to grow in a huge number of things, get them ripe, keep the acidity to them, and make very, very interesting wines. Now, last I saw, I think there's something in excess of 50 different varieties in the ground just in Douglas County.
And that's pretty unique.
It is. A lot of places want to concentrate. The Willamette Valley is almost all Pinot, for example. Napa Valley is mostly Cabernet. You have a giant spread here.
And with the infusion of new wineries, obviously a lot of acres. Also the aspect that we've got a lot of acreage here that is planted in grapes that isn't attached to a particular winery here.
True. That's true of Southern Oregon a lot. And I think people need to realize that Oregon in general, but specifically Douglas County, because of our lack of population, we grow a lot more grapes and make a lot more wine than is consumed here. If you look at it that way, we're a very large exporter of all these things. Yet the land is relatively cheaper here. So you're going to see more and more of that come in, I think.
And over the last few years, we've seen some pretty sizable developments, companies from all over the place involved in that. Does it feel like more of that is going to continue to grow?
Oh, I certainly think so. There's a lot more land in Douglas County, very appropriate for growing grapes. Yet we are less expensive than a lot of other places, and these bigger operations come in and grow here. And it's good for the area. It brings money here, brings jobs here, brings stuff here. So I think that's going to expand more. There's more going in that I know of, and I think it's good for the area.
All right, more with Pat Spangler when we come back to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Oregon Ducks playoff action coming at 2:15 today, so no Umpqua Valley live program and likely no afternoon report as well. Look for information online at 541radio.com, the 541 Radio app, and the KQAN Facebook page. It is Oregon Wine Month. Wine in the Umpqua. Pat Spangler of Spangler Vineyards in here. As you look around the Umpqua Valley, so many of the local folks that are in the industry are like you. It's people that it was kind of their passion, and it is their second career in life.
Yes, that's very true, and I think you might be surprised how many people we have that they are still doing a first career as they step into owning a winery and making wine, because it's very intensive capital-wise, takes a long time to get a business going. But yeah, I think that's the vast majority. I think it's one of the interesting things about Douglas County. There's not a single winery in this area that I'm aware of that's anything but owned by one or two people. It's all small businesses.
And that's really different than I'm told, and I haven't been down there in years, but what you see obviously in Northern California and the Napa area with these big companies.
Oh, huge consolidation down there. You go into some of these places and you've got one company that owns 30 labels, and you're just a number. You know, it's not even matter that you're there. It's distribution, and you just don't have that personal touch that you do here, that you used to have there. You get to a certain size, that kind of goes away.
You know, it's interesting. I know someone that was down in Napa a couple of years ago. They were busy at a conference, but didn't have time to actually go to tasting rooms or anything, but went out for dinner one night and had sticker shock when they saw how much the wine was. And it's like, this doesn't cost this much in Roseburg.
And that's very true. If people look around, the price of the wines in this area versus the quality that you have really offer something unique. The Willamette Valley is much more expensive. Northern California, forget about it. Stuff's 3, 4, 5 times the price it is here. Even in California, you head out to the Walla Walla area and all the areas, it has gotten much, much more expensive.
And when you go to wineries here, much like if someone comes to Spangler, there's a good chance, unless you're out in the field doing something, people are actually going to meet you while they're tasting.
I'm there very frequently, and that's true of a lot of the wineries around here. I have one employee. That's it. So either he's there or I'm there. Some of the slightly bigger ones, you don't see that quite so much, but in general, that's the case in all of Umpqua.
And what do you feel like that adds to the experience for somebody who's trying to learn about wine?
I think it's a great thing. I think it helps a lot because, in general, when you have the owner, you have someone who's truly involved with it, they can understand what it is you're trying to ask about and can give you customized answers to what you specifically want to know, as opposed to someone who's just an employee who's only got a small amount of that knowledge, can only answer certain questions. So it's a much more personal experience.
Do you feel like a lot of people are still trying to learn wine? I mean, when I started, I didn't know there were varietals. I thought there was red and white. And so it was quite a shock when somebody started trying to explain that part to me because I'd never drank it.
I think that's true. Everyone goes through that process. It's funny how people tend to go from beer and things to you start with a sweet wine of some nature, and then you start getting better and drier wines and find out what you really like, and then start playing with wine and food pairings and realize that it's such an interesting and intriguing thing to do.
And that part has been interesting, too, because a particular glass of wine, you're just drinking casually, you take a certain food with it. Sometimes it doesn't change a lot, but sometimes it really does.
Oh, absolutely. For example, we're releasing this weekend a Carmenere, one of the 6 red Bordeaux grapes. This wine's a little bit more herbal, so it wants to go with something like bison or something a little more aggressive. You know, there's so many different pairings. What wine would you have with grilled vegetables? What wine would you have with this? What do you do? And the fun thing is experiment. There's not necessarily a right answer to any of it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that a lot of people like to do, especially with, gatherings, family events, even like a weekend like this, where, you may show up at a friend or relative's house and here's what, what the menu is going to be, so you can go out and try to find wine that goes with it.
And that's true, and it's very interesting when I go to visit with friends and stuff, because I own a winery, they all expect me to bring wine. Well, if I don't know what they have, what do I do? At the same time, if I have people over to my house, they're intimidated and don't want to bring wine, because like, what can I bring that he doesn't already know about? So it's a very interesting way that this plays out, but it's still a lot of fun.
And how do you deal with that factor of for people to not get intimidated by what they don't know?
Well, just ask questions. I think you'll find that particularly in this area, people are extremely willing to discuss things with you and talk about profiles and flavors and how to enjoy things and what might go with this or that and make it an enjoyable experience. You're not getting lectured to. You're not getting people talking down to you. You get that too much in some other places. I'm not going to mention anything. But in general, it's very, very friendly in this area.
And one of the aspects as well is that this seems to be a process that combines sort of science and art. But, I mean, you can't just, you know, some people, for instance, have tried to grow things in the wrong place, and they usually have predictable results. But sometimes people will try something a little different. It leads to a different result than maybe what they expected, but maybe a good result after all. But talk about how important it is to know, you know, what land you're on and what should work there.
Well, obviously, there's a very scientific side to all of this, and that is the location of your vineyards and growing the grapes, getting where you want, and then the original fermentation. You must have everything balanced, both on your acids and pHs and all sort of different things. That's the science part. Now, once you're past that, now you're talking about aging them and blending them and all this kind of stuff. Now's the art part. Now you're starting talking about blending to flavors and things that you like, as opposed to trying to capture it. You've already done that. If you didn't get that start with, you can't do the second part.
And what is the hardest part about growing grapes for you and this whole process of owning a winery?
Well, I think you've seen it in the past half a dozen years. We if you go back 10 years, in 2011, we had the coldest year in about 50 years. Terrible year. 12 through 18, nice, warm, sunny years every year. You couldn't hardly screw up. 19, horrible rain late in the year. 2020, Oregon practically burnt. 2021, I was 119 degrees. Last year, it rained through June. The biggest problem with growing grapes and everything in this part of the country is weather. It varies so dramatically. You have to know how to farm. You have to know how to work through that. You have to adjust things to get quality grapes to make wine from.
And so sometimes you can put all your best effort into it, and you may not get the best result out of it just based on the weather.
Correct. Last year at my site, it was so flooded through June. We were so far behind, we didn't even pick the Cabernet. It never got ripe.
Wow.
And we're running late so far this year. We'll see what happens because it's been very cold and wet winter. It's only now warmed up for about 2 weeks. They're calling for good weather, fingers crossed, because we need it right now.
What's the funnest part about what you do?
I think sharing with people. I think the most fun thing to me is when I'm in the taste room and I pour a wine for someone and they say the word, wow. That's not a rehearsed word. They're not meaning to do that. And it slips out and they say, wow. See, I almost have to turn away to not let them see me smiling at them or because that is never-endingly fun to me.
And I imagine that's got to kind of make your day sometimes.
It does, because you get bogged down in the details of any job. And when you can find someone who really appreciates what you do, that puts a spring in your step the rest of the day.
All right, Pat Spangler of Spangler Vineyards, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.